New trend. It's called Bare Minimum Mondays. Okay, so
it's about what you wear.
it's not that new.
Immediately
for a lot of
pervy. Mondays are a tough day of the week, I think, for a lot of people. I personally find Tuesdays harder. Monday, I've got a bit of fresh start energy. We can do this. Come on. It's time for a second chance. We can make it work. And then Tuesday, I go, nah, it's the same. It's all shit.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like this.
Tuesday,
and then Wednesday,
the worst day.
You kind of bit, it's a hump day in it. You're a bit excited. You can see the light. Thursday, the music's on.
Turn it up.
Yeah. Friday, you're half cut already.
Yeah.
And forget about it. So
Saturday, just neck deep.
Yeah, that's
you're
right.
You're into it.
Sunday, they're checking my pulse.
I'm never drinking again.
Nah, bare minimum Mondays, though, it's a Gen Z trend, and basically it means that Mondays you work from home, you stay in your jammies, you don't do meetings on Mondays, you get yourself organised for the week, you deal with the Sunday sads, the Sunday scaries.
Wasn't that the Sunday?
Isn't that
what Monday the old Sunday?
I think so. I think now, well, because... You're
what's
right.
Sunday then?
Well, Sunday's actually a
just
day
still
off.
Still Sunday.
Yeah, you're meant to kind of enjoy it, you know, live your life.
Right.
But then I suppose Monday shouldn't be a day of, you know, recovering.
Second day of Sunday.
Yeah. I don't know. I think
Sunday times two, Sunday bloody Sunday.
Yeah. I think that this is something that your generation
Sunday,
definitely
Monday.
Won't understand. My generation is a bit like, come on, pull yourself up.
Lazy
Let's do
tricks.
It. But... Is that what you're... If you can get the most out of someone by letting him recuperate, you know, it's like with a footy player, you got to rest them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're going to burn
out. That's
what
a weekend's for.
Yeah,
but people don't do that on the weekend,
well,
do
they should. That's what it's for.
Is that what you do, Dits?
Well, no. But no, but I have
a... He doesn't have Mondays off.
No, that's
Not
right.
Not physically.
This is like, it's just similar to what I'm reading about some sort of union rules at the moment. You know, we'll pay it at... Turn up on time and please don't damage the equipment and please
on.
And we'll actually pay you more. Like,
don't
come
get
on.
Me started.
Isn't it all? It's the same thing. We're paying you to work on a Monday. How about you actually turn up and do what we're paying you for?
I know a lot of people who work in office jobs or they work as lawyers or whatever, and they're overworked. Like, I'm not kidding. They work huge hours.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's really hard on them. And so having a day where you can kind of you're not having to go in and you're not overrun with meetings where you can just get your stuff organised. You will perform at peak for the rest of the week, I think, if you have that day. So I do see the bonuses of it. As long as those people aren't taking the piss.
Oh, and they wouldn't do that. Nah. Shit, no.
In this woman's company, it seems like she has a good relationship with her employees and she trusts them to do it. So it works for them.
Some works for some people, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm not judging her at all. I don't think it would work everywhere. I think if you worked in a corporation where there's not that mutual respect between, you don't care about the business,
so
they don't care about you.
I'm a barman at the Alma. Rue, I won't come in. Just let people pour their own. But I'll, you know.
Doesn't quite work.
If I can just watch from the security cameras or let people put the money in the till and.
Didn't work at Santos.
Yeah. That's right.
Different. That was different.
Yeah.
104.7 Triple M.
Hello, Adelaide.
No one knows Adelaide like these guys. Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Amazing news this morning for Kelly Finlayson. She's the wife of Jeremy. He plays for Port Adelaide. And I don't know if people out there have been following her story. I certainly have. She's she was diagnosed with bowel cancer when she was 25, just after she'd given birth to her daughter, Sophia. And it was just one of the most heartbreaking stories I've ever sort of read about. She had a lot of different prognoses. I think in the beginning they weren't quite sure how bad it was and it seemed like it was getting better. And then a few months ago she was told it was terminal. She had lesions on her lung and she's been told the cancer is pretty much frozen. It's dormant. The chemo's worked.
Yep.
Even though technically the prognosis is still terminal because you have to wait a long time before you get out of
you're
that.
You're in the clear.
You're in the full clear.
Yep.
It's not growing anymore. Yep. They're shocked at how well the treatment has worked. So, you know, she's now thinking, I am going to see my daughter grow up. And, oh, my God, I could. Yeah, it's
the
very
turnaround.
Emotional.
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. This poor family, I can't even imagine, because that beautiful little girl and just thinking that she wasn't going to see her grow up, the trauma would have been unbearable. So a bit of hope there for them, which is just outstanding.
Oh, I have a dollar on him kicking five this week.
Yeah.
God, the relief.
Good on them.
Well done.
And she's always had a bloody positive mindset through it. She's been incredible trying to promote it and talk about it and be the face of it, which is, you know, doubly as hard when you're under enormous pressure.
I'll get checked because it happens to younger people, bowel cancer, and people think that it can't, but it does. So if anything's going on, you know, and something doesn't seem right, absolutely get checked and push for a check too.
The power of the mind, very important. There's a new company that's heading towards the $1 trillion mark. Now, there's five companies in the world with a $1 trillion valuation. Hit me some names, please.
Google,
tick, that's one.
Tesla or Elon Musk?
No, Tesla's, Apple. Tesla's not. Apple, yes, that's number two, that's in there.
Microsoft?
Number three.
Very good, Loz.
Amazon. And there's a Saudi one called Aramco. You probably wouldn't have guessed that
Aramco,
one.
Isn't that where
Aramco,
you
Aramco, yeah. I am from Aramco, but there's not a trillion Aramco. In Aramco, I can tell you that. But there's a new one that's right on the edge. It's in front of Tesla, and it's in front of Facebook in value.
Really?
And it's a new AI company called NVIDIA. You're going to hear a lot about this company. It's just stocks going through the roof at the moment. It's actually a 30-year-old company, but it's in the AI space, which we haven't had too much of that in the world. But you're going to hear a name called NVIDIA spoken about in the same capacity as Microsoft, Google, Amazon.
Heard it here first.
These sort of companies. So watch this space.
All right. Yeah. Good story. Hey, Mark McGowan, the WA Premier, stepped out. Doesn't probably affect us or mean much to us here in SA, except I just want to remind you all, do you know, they said that he imposed the toughest restrictions in the world, not Australia, in the world, for his state of WA during COVID. No one could leave. No one could get in. He shut the place down, and that was that. And it lasted 697 days and ended up with a 92% approval rating. They loved him. They thought he was that brilliant. And yet,
been the most dominant that I've ever remembered, Dits, in your lifetime. And yet, has there ever been a more dominant premier?
No way in the world. But remember how, you know, we got shut down for a couple of months and we hated it. He said to them, no one comes or leaves and it was over 2 years.
Yeah,
so
they had
amazing stuff.
They shut from going into state, but while they were over there, they could do a fair bit of stuff over there themselves, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Because they got on top of it. And
Well, they're different units over there, in my opinion. Like, very isolated from the rest of the country. They've got their own, as Rue was saying, off
the mines could still go ahead. They were still working. They had their own economy, basically. They were pumping.
Adelaide, Sydney, and, you know, Melbourne, we're all sort of interacting with each other. We're travelling for work. We're doing all. That was really hard on Melbourne.
Got the granny there.
Yeah. They were just loving life.
They were loving life.
They would have put a wall up, I reckon. They would have
That's what it was like.
It was. For two countries.
But anyway, he's burnt out now. He's been in politics over 26 years, I think. So he's
exhausted.
So if you're getting cooked at the moment, Koshy yesterday, Hardwick, McGowan.
Yep.
Clarko.
Right. But no one's doing it as tough as this man, this driver in Edinburgh who... Mm. Well, he's been slapped with a £30 fine.
I thought you were talking about our driver from our...
trip. No, that's a different story. This driver had to abandon his car and you think, well, of course you get a fine for that. But he said, I had diarrhea, okay? I had diarrhea and I had to go I just had to leave my car charging. It's one of the little electric chargey ones. And he left it there and he got slapped with a fine because he left it there for too long. And I think we've all been there. When nature calls, I think there should be a nature clause in these situations where you just go.
I think a few people try a few different things over the journey.
What do you mean?
Well,
saying that you have
baby.
Something wrong.
I need to get to the toilet. There's emergency at home. Mm. All those sort of things.
But they won't have it anymore. They just say, we've seen enough diarrhea.
I'll give you one quick tip. Just don't lie about it.
Yeah.
Because I know someone who got pulled over and said, look, I was speeding. I'm sorry. My wife's having a baby. And the cop said, quick, jump in. We'll take you. Because they generally wanted to help.
Are you kidding me?
Which hospital? The one down that way, you know.
We're doing a water birth at home. Yeah, you can't
in my
come
brain.
In.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's making news.
For all your steel supplies, it has to be Centurion Steel. Centurion.com.au.
G'day, it's Tex Walker from the Crows.
Come on.
Let's talk about Tex.
Oh, good morning, Tex. Welcome. Another great win for your boys.
I'll tell you what, I learned something new on the way in today.
What?
What we're known as a city.
Yeah, what's that?
The 20-minute city.
Didn't you know that?
You didn't know that?
You've never heard that.
I was singing last-minute city because it's easy to get around, so it's booked last minute and then you can get around.
Tell you need to listen to this show more often.
I do, on the way in I do. So
educational.
Thank you very much for teaching me something new.
No that worries. This is called the 1 minute man, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Is that because you get a bit puffed out, or
he can only run?
I get tuckered
out.
I reckon best win of the season.
I'd be up there. Yeah, it was a very, very pleasing win. I thought the best thing about it was Brisbane come at us, challenged us, we responded. Brisbane come at us, we respond, like that was the most pleasing thing for our young group, and we're able to have a bit of steely resolve and in the end win the game of footy, which was nice.
Mm. Yeah, lots of good performances across the board. Did you know Nick Murray was going to be this good at, like, in pre-season? Was he really hard to play on at training? Because I think he's been the most improved player at the club.
Yeah, I'll put it this way, he's not going to die wondering, Roo. He works super, super hard, and good country boy comes in and he's taking his opportunity. So he's got a couple of scalps, Muzz. So he's a ripping fella and super strong. Like benches, I think he benched like 145 not long ago. So he's super strong and doesn't leave anything out there.
That's up there with the squash players. Mm. Hey, anyway.
What would you have benched back in your heyday?
No, I don't like to talk about
the
it.
The bar?
Tex, another 3 goals on the weekend.
Tex has got 24 for the season from 52. Distance would not bother him one bit, but the accuracy just sneaks it in. He gets the umpire to do a little bit of leaning, but Walker has gone back-to-back with his goals. Adelaide 5-5, 35, 11 points up, 3-6, 24, Triple M Titanium Caravans.
There's a mouthful. You seem to, you like them from further out, don't you? You're good from 50-odd.
Yeah, let the leg go through and
that's it.
Don't have to try and nurse them.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you got a bit angry after one of your goals. You went up and spoke to Harris Andrews. What was that all about?
Yeah, I don't condone that. Well, I don't know what come over the top of me. That the little acting.
The dive that you did.
Yeah.
No wonder your mate hasn't spoken about it.
Who? Oh, coming from you.
Coming.
I'll tell you what, though.
I nearly said on the call you should probably get $1,000 for that.
Yeah, I'll take it too, because it's a bad look for the game, and I don't like it. Find me, Phil. I'll take it. And
why'd you do it? What happened in your head?
Don't know.
Were you trying to bluff him?
One of those things you do and you're like, shit, why did I just do that?
Every day, every single day of my life.
Yeah, it was one of those things.
Every morning.
Cody Waitman did one from the Bulldogs on the weekend. He got highlighted on the footy shows last night. Okay. Drew a free kick. I think might have got a goal out of it.
Nah, I don't like the look of it, so. Mm. But, a couple of ex-teammates were sitting. My brother was down for the weekend, and he went, and a couple of ex-teammates, Scotty Thompson, Brent Riley, and the pauper. They were sitting right behind my brother, and when I hit the deck, they're like, Ayrton, that's your brother. And he turned around and he said, no, it's not. We don't do that in our family.
Oh, no.
So he didn't really want to talk to me or have a beer with me after the game.
Oh,
so,
no. Yeah.
But that's what you get if you act inappropriately.
Riley Thilthorpe makes a difference to the forward line when he's taking those big grabs, doesn't he? It's amazing what a big contested mark can do. And he got the side going there.
In the game. Certainly, we were struggling to get going in that first. I think we had like 13 or 14 inside 50s to one. And then we went inside
against.
A couple of times. Against. And he took a couple of big clunks. He's a good kid and he's going to put a lot of bums on seats in the next 10 years, that's for sure.
I reckon Wayne Miller has played two of the best games he's ever played for the club in the last three. Do you agree with
I reckon
that?
His last month, 6 weeks of footy has been his best footy he's played for a long time. And we're very lucky to have him. He's playing some really, really good footy, Junior.
Yeah, no, boys are going
he's
well.
He's very cool running out of defence, isn't he? And under pressure, yeah. In heavy traffic, he just gets the job done. Chase Jones still going well, getting better and better every week.
Yeah, we're starting to find some form from our younger kids. Well, Junior's not so young anymore, but some of those young kids are the reason why we're playing some really good footy.
And Worrell came in and played a real good game as well.
Yeah, it's been nice to get one of those boys to come in and play some good footy. So we're very lucky. And he's signed on for 2 more years.
He has. Yep, that's right.
Woozle.
For all your steel supplies, it has to be Centurion Steel. Centurion.com.au.
G'day, it's Tex Walker from the Crows.
Come on.
Tex. Righto, Tex watching Fox Footy last night. Mm. There was a report about Essendon defender Mason Redmond.
Adelaide has seriously turned Mason Redford's head. Like, I thought this was probably a stalking horse move. Okay, you have a look at the options and then you sign up at Essendon. But the offer is significant, and so much so that a player who was always thinking he would remain at Essendon has a big decision to make. So my understanding is
so that was the report on the couch last night. I put it to Roo earlier this morning, and of course he had this to say.
I've seen nothing. Yeah. I know nothing.
Yeah, what can you tell us? Anything?
I say nothing.
I've seen nothing. I know nothing.
Yeah, you'll speak the same language as
he's going to answer that question.
Give us something.
Yeah,
anyway.
We've signed him for 6 years.
You've got a heap of... Yeah,
don't
right.
tell anyone.
You've got a heap of good defenders. You're getting greedy down there. Mm. Now, the Laird tackle. Rory Laird's been given a one-game ban. Apparently the club is tipped to appeal against this. What do you know? Let's have a listen to it first.
Oh, is that a dumping? Legal tackle or illegal tackle? Illegal. Neil.
Where's that tackle from Rory Laird? Enough publicity about that spinning tackle.
All right, so they saw it as a spinning, dumping
well,
tackle.
Brownie went on to say that he did put him down softly and he was
yeah.
harshly done by.
I think he did. Tex, you probably can't comment on Rory Laird in particular, but tackling itself, what are you told? There are 20 players now that
he
have been done this year.
16 tackles on the weekend, Lady. Mm.
So I get a little bit frustrated, a bit confused. Does Laird get suspended for the tackle or the potential outcome?
It's a good Both. Question.
Hmm. Both.
Yep.
But, like, I looked at the vision. I don't think Neil's head hit the ground, did it?
Very slightly.
Right. No, I suppose for me, like, take ladies out of it, it'd be frustrating. It is frustrating as a player because you, in that instance, you don't have time. It's instinctive. I know they're trying to eradicate it out of our game, but I don't know.
We're asking too much of the players to be able to... Well, I mean, in that instance, he can't let him go. There's momentum. So what are players meant to do in that instance?
If he does let him go, I guarantee you, VB, our midfield coach, would be saying to him Monday, mate, you need to stick your you need to get this one done.
So clearly you can't drive people into the ground. Clearly you can't have two actions, can you?
No, you can't have... I understand you can't sling them and run the risk of their head hitting the ground, but some like that where his momentum's going that way... What is the tackler supposed to do?
So we've already taken the bump out of the game, basically, and now we're taking just about the tackle out of the game. What will happen next? So do we let players run free?
You won't be able to go for a specky and knee him in the back of the head.
But I'm just saying, how do you stop a player that's got the ball? If you can't bump and you can't tackle...
Well, you can tackle, but you're not allowed to take him to the ground.
I'm going to have to retire then if you can't take speckies.
Because as I said before, you don't tackle. So.
Why? Because no one will be able to climb up, yeah.
Neil Craig loved when I used to tackle. Any of you listening, Craigie?
Yeah. Can you win a game on the road? What's the talk?
That's the
lot
plan.
Of talk about that. Let's focus on you heading to Darwin to take on the Gold Coast Suns, who have been up there all week. They've acclimatised. They've beaten the Bulldogs. You might not have your best midfielder in Rory Laird. Can you go up there and win on the road, Tex?
Well, that's the plan, Roo. Yeah, we haven't won on the road that often that last 13, 14 games. So plan is to stop that trend and get a win on the road. And it's a super important game for our footy club going into the bye in 2 weeks' time.
You have to nullify the grass eater. He's on fire, Matty Rowe.
Yeah, what's going on there? Is that a superstitious thing? Is it? I'm obsessed.
He's getting
with
it
this.
One with the deck.
Right. Yeah, there's well, pesticides and stuff in that deck. Yeah. Like
he won't do it twice because he already done it last week, so he doesn't need to taste it again, does he? Mm. Or will he do it?
I think every game he has to get down on his haunches like a little year four. And just sort of eat the grass. I think that's he has to.
Did you ever try the sow sobs that used to grow?
Yeah. I actually had an addiction to them, and I got banned. Mum told me that it was dog wee and cat wee that made it. We don't have a dog.
Row.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's something in that. Yeah, I loved them. So I understand why he does it. But do you have any pre-game stuff that you have to do?
Not so much. So
don't
once
eat
you
a
have
daffodil
kids, all those types of things. Oh, yeah, I like to do a few things leading up to it, but I'm not hell bent on it like I used to be.
Any of them weird?
What, kids or? nothing really weird.
Yeah.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Oh.
Packed my bag the night before.
Yeah.
Oh. Although my kids like to do that now. And,
really?
Oh, it's like a fight to who can pack it.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Literally, it turns into a fight.
Huh? Well, they fight who can put your boots in and the towel.
Yeah.
Like, mouth guard,
I want to do it. I don't let them wrestle for a bit and... burn a bit of energy and I'll just pack it in the background.
The vision of your
kids watching. I can't wait for you
watching.
To leave, Tex. I can't wait for you to leave.
Yeah, I know. Can you hurry up and go, Dad?
All right, tell us your gag, Texan.
Well, did I tell you I'd got kidnapped when I was a little bit younger?
Really?
Yeah, got kidnapped by mimes. Oh. They did unspeakable things to me.
Oh, no. Get out.
Oh, no. Go to Darwin, good luck. The 4 points, and get on.
7:35, it is rumour time. We do it at this time each and every morning. Let's relive yesterday's.
Brian from Morfettville. Brian said that in the next week or two, there could be news breaking about a few jockeys being naughty interstate. Maybe sort of working out who should win.
So we're talking about fixing races there, Roo. Now, can I tell you there's an additional bit to this story?
We've
learnt some more.
What do you mean?
There's an SA jockey involved, uh-oh, we think. Which I'm saddened by this. Let's hope there isn't, but I think you'll find there might be.
Well, time will tell. Let's wait and find out. That would be no good for anyone.
Yeah. All right, let's go back in time a little bit. Loz, you dropped a story. We're going back early last year.
Yes.
Would you believe?
This is the 31st, and I've actually seen some evidence of it, is that there's going to be an Australian one.
An Australian office?
Yeah.
You're joking.
I've seen some of the script, some of the sides.
You've seen the scripts.
A friend of mine is auditioning for the male lead.
Really?
Yeah, really?
And sent it through, and I got to say, they're in desperate need of writers.
Loz, that was January last year. It's been confirmed. The Office.
How long is that?
Mm. So what are we doing, an Australian version of it?
Yeah. Now,
who's your friend?
Gee, to want to be good.
I was going to say who it was, but now that they've said that they're auditioning for the male lead, I can't say.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. But thanks to that person for giving me the goss a year ago. And
is it a risk to take on something like that?
Everything's a risk.
You're going up against the creativity and the genius of Ricky Gervais, aren't you?
You are.
Is he going to be playing a role in it, though?
Nah. It's just a franchise, essentially, now. They've got them. I think there's like 50 of them around the world. They've got a German office. They've got a Dutch one.
Oh, really?
You know. And I think the reason why it works over there is because they're their own ecosystem and their own offices and their own cultural jokes and stuff. But because we've already got two Western ones, they've both been successful. And because Australians are just very suspicious, I just don't think it's – I personally don't know if it's going to work. I hope it does, of course, but I'm suspicious that they're not going to pull it off.
Mm.
Yeah. Come up with something new, for the love of God. Yeah. Can someone just come up with something new? I'm sick of seeing reboots.
We do songs for the second time and third time. We do movies for the second and third time.
It's easier to do a cover of a song and put your own spin on it than take something like a character, I think, that is so beloved. Like, they're redoing Fawlty Towers.
What about movies?
It can be done. They just have to be done so bloody well, and it takes so much work and so much talent. I don't know if every time they get it right. So,
what about the odd time they do?
The odd time's great, but a lot of you throw enough poo at the wall, something's going to stick, you know. And a lot of it slides to the ground.
Wow. This morning I quoted Shakespeare. Now we're going to throw enough. I just want to write that one down. Yeah. Throw enough poo at the wall.
Anyway, you've got one from the world of music coming up.
I do have another one, and maybe in a year we'll confirm it.
And everyone can get on board. You can either text them in on 0488 51047 like Brian from Morfettville did yesterday, or you can ring in on 133353. You can be anonymous. Now, today is the 30th of May. Tomorrow's the last day, and then we'll be giving away $1,000 on Thursday.
AutoCam, real-time video reporting, direct from your AutoMasters technician.
Rumour has it.
Hey, have you heard?
Your Rubifile's been on the money a few times.
Premier says.
Every morning at 7:40 a.m, hear what's happening in Adelaide first. The Rumour Mill.
What have you got for us, Loz?
I don't know if you've heard of a little up-and-coming band called Queen.
Oh, okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
They go all right. Dits went out in the town with Freddie one night.
Mm-hmm. Did
you? Got on very well.
Yeah.
Mm. How well?
No, not that well.
Okay.
Who's putting a bit of mayo on this? Yeah.
What? How did you meet Freddie?
Oh, it's a long, long
story. Queen for a night.
Oh.
I'll tell you later.
You'll tell me. Okay. Well, that's fascinating. I think the people out there are turning the dials up wanting to hear about that
I've heard
story.
It a lot of times. That's what the issue is.
Look. Queen, you know, music catalogues and ownership over music is interesting because you'd think the band just owns it and that's how it is. But quite often a group or a corporation owns it, and sometimes the musicians have part stake in it and all this stuff. Anyway, lots of...
Well, sadly, sometimes they don't even own their own music. Oh, it's crazy awful. How it happens. Yeah.
It can happen.
Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalogue at one stage.
Yep, that's right.
Stuff like that happens, yeah.
Taylor Swift is re-recording all of her own music because she couldn't buy the rights back.
Yeah.
So she's doing covers of her own songs.
So what's happening with Queen?
Queen are going to be selling.
We digress.
Queen will be selling their giant catalogue for over $1 billion.
A billion?
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be going from Disney Music Group to Universal Music Group. It's one of the biggest sales ever been done in the history of music. It? So it's going from Disney Music Group.
Yeah.
And Brian May and the other members still own part of it as well.
Right.
Over to Universal Music Group.
Mm. All right. Springsteen sold, his is the biggest in recent times, $500 million.
Yeah.
That was only about a year or two ago.
This will be the biggest. Yeah. So Bob Dylan's done some of it, Neil Young's done some of it, and it's worth so much money, but it is a big step because once you give it away, they can use it for whatever they want to use it for.
Well, I guess you get to a point in life where you want to get the bird in the hand, don't you?
Yeah.
Instead of putting it in your super fund for a rainy day.
Brian May's super fund, can you imagine?
Might be over the $3 million mark.
He's got to pay the school fees.
He does.
Yeah.
I had a very kind act done for me yesterday, which could have gone badly, but... I had $250 fall out of my pocket, and I'm not a cash carrier. I don't ever have cash on me, and I'm moving house at the moment, and I need to pay a few people in cash for a few things, and it was just in my pocket, and I went to get some sushi. My phone case has got a rubber back, and things stick to it. Sometimes receipts will stick to it, and as I pulled it out, the $250 was stuck to the back, which I didn't see, fell straight on the ground, got my sushi, went on with my day, and then put my hand in my pocket about an hour later, and I went, "You have got to be kidding me."
No, Lozzie.
I said, no.
Money not there.
It's not there. And I checked everything. I checked under the car seat.
Where were you when you reckon you got any idea? When did you get your phone out? Where were you?
Well, I had a bit of a general idea. Sushi. Yeah, that it was when I was getting sushi.
So where did you get that? In a shopping centre?
Only shopping centre. Public, busy, lots of people walking through. I'm panicking, I'm sweating. You know, times are tight for everyone. And
where were you when you realised you didn't have it?
I was talking. Home. I was talking to the person I owed the money to.
Where at? Like how far away from the Unley Shopping Centre?
Probably about 10 minutes away. And I just went, "All right, I'll meet you over there. I've just got to go and open the gate and get stuff organised." Yeah, no worries. Straight over to Unley. I'm walking around thinking, "God, I'm done."
So
here.
So you went back thinking it would still be there.
I went back because I didn't know what to do. I was hopeless, and I was trying to call the sushi joint, and they don't have a phone, obviously, and. It was terrible. Anyway, so I'm walking around the sushi place looking completely
busy?
Insane. Yeah.
People everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm looking on the ground and sweating and panicking.
Oh, my God. What were you dressed in?
I had on a big puffer jacket and a beanie. I looked insane. And
actually, Bill saw you on the text line. This is true. Bill, I saw Loz walking through the Unley Shopping Centre yesterday with a beanie on at lunchtime. He said it didn't say Chemist Warehouse on it.
Bill, well, you saw me because I was panicked. And I went in and the girl behind the counter at the sushi joint said, "Can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, this is ridiculous and you're not going to have it." But
what happened next?
I dropped $250 and she went, "Yeah, it was you." And she opens the till and she pulls $250 out and she says, "A bloke saw it fall out of your pocket. He couldn't catch you, so he gave it to me, and I've just been hoping that you'd come back in."
And a bloke's handed it into the sushi shop.
Handed it into the sushi shop, and they have been waiting for me. Like, it was literally a coil. He could have just popped that in his pocket. No one would have ever known. I don't know who
he is. Had the money rolled up in a roll.
It was rolled up.
With a rubber band on it?
No rubber band, but it was tightly sort of like scrolled up.
Yep.
And I just couldn't believe it, and I almost started crying. I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "I'll never go anywhere else."
Did the bloke leave his number?
No one left anything. I am just in awe that they did it. And the fact that she trusted me enough to go, "Yep, it was you." She's like, "I remember your beanie."
Well, you wouldn't come back randomly and say if you hadn't done it. That's a bloody good thing that person did.
Phenomenal.
It's a great story.
So I just wanted to say thank you so much to that person. I don't know if you listen to the radio, but It was me, and I'm so grateful. And to the sushi place at the Unley Shopping Centre, very good sushi too. I'm not just saying that. Yeah, go in and see him.
$250 worth of good. Yeah. Hey, if you were that person, give us a call. 1-333-53. But I want to throw the phones open. What would you do in that situation there?
Do you keep the money? Oh, people aren't going to call and say they keep the
money.
Well,
I reckon there'd be a lot that
you can be anonymous.
Have you done it? Have you done something similar to this? It's a feel-good story. It's great. Rue, there's a similar one. I mean, you know, you're in business. I always feel bad if I'm undercharged, for example. I mean, if I had dinner tonight at the Alma and go, oh, they didn't put the bottle of wine on there. I always say, oh, you haven't charged us for the wine. It's just a good...
You
do you know
to.
Why? I think I'm a big believer it comes around. It actually comes back.
Fate.
I think so. I don't believe in fate, but I think good
karma.
Things...
Karma. Yeah. I'd do it in a small business like that. But if it was somewhere big, I'd probably just keep going.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, if it was a big corporation.
What if I said, oh, the Alma's a big pub? I won't bother.
Oh, but the Alma's not.
That's
you
not
know.
Big. It's just a little struggling little corner pub. What is it? It's a locals pub, but, you know. 1-333-53. Give us a buzz.
If it was you, I owe you a bottle of something, seriously. Once I get paid, because I needed that money. But seriously, that was one of the greatest things that's ever happened. 1-333-53. I wouldn't mind hearing a few random acts of kindness if someone's done something for you.
Yeah.
Or if you've, done something for someone, let us know. 1-333-53. Or if you're like Rue and you would have kept the money, I'd like to hear from you. We'll
Loz was on the end of a very, very nice act of kindness yesterday. Lost a wad of cash out of your pocket. And what happened?
$250 got returned back to the sushi place where it fell out of my pocket. Yep. Happy bean at Unley. Thank you so much.
I can't believe you drove back that far to think it would still be
You've got to have a go.
I just panicked. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I just had
to. So well done to the man that anonymously handed it in.
Anonymous person handed it in. I don't know who you are. I just love you and I owe you a beer.
Oh. See, that's Adelaide.
This is a front page advertiser.
Yeah.
This is Adelaide Headlines. Dwayne at Grange. Hello, Dwayne. What's happened to you?
I've been fortunate enough. I found a couple of wallets from the time and handed them back with about $500 in them. But the best one I had was my cousin's boyfriend found a wallet which had $2,000 in it. Oof. He found the owner, gave it back to him, who happened to be a dentist. Now, this cousin and boyfriend actually had shocking teeth, and the dentist fixed his teeth up.
There you go. That's a good deal. That's the ultimate contra deal, isn't it?
How does that conversation go? By the way, I see you have terrible teeth. Yeah. I'll sort those
by
out.
By the way,
just lay back in the chair there.
What are you doing next Tuesday? Let's go to Kidman Park. G'day, Gerald.
I was at West Lakes one night, had my wallet in my jacket pocket.
Yeah.
$8,000 cash in it.
What were you doing with $8,000?
Buying jet ski parts.
Okay.
It fell out of my jacket pocket. I didn't know until I got home. When I got home, I realised it was missing. An hour later, a knock on the door, a guy hands me the wallet, fully intact, and just walks off.
No.
You're kidding.
Sorry?
Did you talk to him?
I just said, where in the hell did you find it? He said it was underneath a seat, so as I'd sat down, it had fallen out. But he looked in, found my address, brought it to me. He wouldn't take a reward, got in his car and drove off.
Oh, my God.
What a good fellow.
And I hope
something good happened to him.
Power is looking after that man.
Yeah. What a story.
Let's go to Christie's Beach. G'day, Steve. What did you find?
We come from Shell Harbour, New South Wales. We've only lived here 2.5 years, but we're up at a big shopping centre there and we're just about to drive out of the shopping centre. I noticed a wallet on the ground. I went, oh, a wallet. And I bloody jumped out of the car and picked up the wallet. It was full of cash.
Really?
And we got the bloke's name. We drove. It was only probably 5 minutes away. We get around to his house. He wasn't there. The lady rang him. He was actually in the shopping centre and didn't even realise he dropped his wallet.
Oh.
He come home, but the thing was, there's a lot. I think there's about $3,000 in it, but the money was actually for his wife's funeral because she'd passed away.
Oh, my God. So
honestly, I just nearly... And he's going, I'll give you some money and all this sort of shit. And,
no,
you
can't take it.
No way, mate. Oh.
Good on you, Steve.
That's a good way to make some friends in South Australia.
Powerful. Look,
now, I thought Dwayne's story was fantastic, but Steve's from New South Wales. Yeah, probably wants to go to the origin.
Oh, yeah.
I like your thinking, Dits.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of doubles, though, haven't we?
We can give Steve one.
Yeah, let's give Steve one.
But also Dwayne.
We've got another. Oh, you have to ask the boss.
Can we get two
to give away? Can we give two tickets away?
Steve's a New South Welshman. Needs to go and cheer on the Blues tomorrow night. And Dwayne, well, I like your story about the teeth. That was good.
Yeah, amazing. All right, you're both going. State of Origin, how good's that?
Beautiful.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
G'day, rock and rolls.
Please welcome to Triple M Breakfast, Dave Gleeson.
Oh, he is the best front man in Australia today, but he's made a big announcement. Gleeso, good morning.
G'day, guys. How's all going?
Good, Gleeso. Big, big change for you. Tell us all about it. What's happening?
Yeah, well, after 12 years fronting the Angels, I've decided, or we've all decided, it's time that that we go our separate ways. So, yeah, I've got up until the end of August playing with the Angels, and then I'm just the screaming Jets again.
Gee, everyone's stepping down everywhere. You got the Premier of Western Australia, you got Koshy, you've got Damien Hardwick. Now, Gleeso.
So look, that's what set it all off. That's exactly when I saw Koshy.
Yeah.
I saw Koshy, I thought, it's time for me to go too.
Are you going on Sunrise, are you?
Oh.
Gee, yeah. Wouldn't that change the demographic?
Yeah, Kosh in Gleeson.
It'd be sunset, I think. If,
It'd be sunset.
I've actually been on Sunrise a couple of times, but both times I've been on it, I've actually stayed up all night before I went on the show.
Well, so. We have heard you on Luke Boner a couple of times, Gleeso, when you're up a little bit late.
Getting ready to go on Koshy's show.
Yeah, so you'll be dangerous with the screaming Jets now if you're no longer performing for the Angels.
Well, look, the thing is, you kind of I've been just bouncing between the two bands for the last 12 years. I mean, I'd get a couple of weeks off between the shows, and then off I'd go again. So. It'll be certainly giving me a bit more free time. Maybe I can put more prep into my show.
on Triple M.
I always ask people who are musicians, you know, do you have a few drinks before you go on stage, or do you like to be completely sober or lucid? And you said, if it's the Jets, I do. If it's the Angels, I don't. And I'm just wondering, are you looking forward to the fact that you've got your own sort of band that you built from the ground up now, and you're not having that pressure of being the emblem or the representation of a band as much?
Yeah, look, the thing is that there is a great responsibility that goes with singing with the Angels because, you know, you're keeping the legacy alive that was created long before I kind of stepped on board. So, look, it's been an absolute pleasure, and it's probably saved me liver a little bit, I reckon, playing with the Angels. Now the Jets. The Jets are going to fireball me to death before too long.
I reckon the Angels are taking a big risk letting you stay there till August too, just quietly. Yeah, I reckon you might go out like a fireball in the next couple of months. That's a bit risky.
Yeah, look, I've got some great gigs coming up. As the great William H. Bonney said, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. We're doing like the Gympie Muster, the Mount Isa Rodeo, the Monday Bash and the Big Red Bash. there's some great shows to do.
Can it get any more rocker than that?
Yeah.
Just to finish Monday, out. Monday.
What about the Deniliquin Ute Muster or something like that? Are you going there as well?
We did the Denny Ute Muster last year. That's been the amazing thing with the Angels as well. We've been able to do cruises, rock the boat cruise, all those big festivals. We did Clipsal 9 years ago now, to 25,000-30,000 people. So the fact that the Angels are so iconic has been a huge feather in my cap that I've been able to get up there and rock out with them as long as I have.
You going to do one more gig in Adelaide for the Adelaide audience? Or
I think we are. I think we've got one more gig in Adelaide.
Oh, that would be big.
There you go. That'll let us big. Know.
But, yeah, absolutely. It's look, I couldn't be more respectful and thankful to John and Rick. And all the Angels fans who've taken me on. At first, it was a bit of a tough sell. People were like, no Doc, no Angels. We were able to win them over. And,
you've been amazing, mate.
Yeah, you've been awesome. We love watching you out front doing the best work, Gleeso. Now, you love the State of Origin. You're a Newcastle boy. You'll be going for the Blues tomorrow night, I take it?
I am. I'm actually going down for the captain's run today to go and watch the boys go round and give them a bit of a pep up, you know.
Yep.
You've sung at State of Origin, haven't you?
I did. 1993, the Jets sang, and we had to do a Rose Tattoo song for some reason. In the middle of it,
why didn't they get Rose Tattoo then?
Yeah, that's right. We did We Can't Be Beaten, and in the middle of it, there's a bit of a breakdown, and it was at the time where Paul Keating was trying to change the Australian flag. And I just said in the middle of the song, if you want a new Australian flag, you can bugger off home now. And, oh, mate, I come off stage and they were filthy.
Oh, never no. Mind, absolutely.
Kicking my ass.
Yeah, don't get political, Gleeson.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Maybe leave that for us. No.
Well, Gleeson, you have been an incredible front man. I mean, to take over, as you said, the iconic Doc Neeson, you've done it with aplomb, mate. It's been unbelievable watching you out the front of the Angels, and you were the perfect front man, totally. No doubt about that. So we've enjoyed it so much, mate. Good luck moving forward, and good luck with the Screaming Jets.
No worries, mate. New album coming out later this year, so can't wait.
Yeah. Rock right. On, Gleeson.
And we look forward to hearing Gleeson each night here on Triple M as well.
Triple M presents the real State of Origin.
Another couple of those, and I think the Maroons get home.
Who is the croakiest bloke?
First clearance, they got 9 plus 9.
On Triple M,
Raspy Rusciutto doing some of his finest work.
It's Throat of Origin.
Oh, that is unbelievable!
Yeah, State of Origin comes to town tomorrow night, but this is bigger than that, the Throat of Origin. So there you go, Roo up against Darren Lockyer of Queensland. Mm. What about, we've got Graham Arnold as well, the Socceroos coach, who's a New South Welshman.
How will you embrace the celebrations tonight, if at all?
No celebrations. As I said to the boys, that's why we won after a great win against Tunisia. No celebrations, no emotion, sleep. No social media.
There you go, Graham. Oh, right. He's
get the job done.
He's in the final. Who else have we got, Loz?
I wanted to chuck Miley Cyrus in the ring. She's
Miley Cyrus.
She's got a beautiful singing voice, but her throat has been a little damaged over the years, I think. But
the journey is usually the part that you remember anyways.
Oh.
What? Wow.
Sounds like a zipper.
Robot.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, from the world of rock and roll, the late, great Michael Gudinski.
Well, for a start, I've been to bed. I do the late shift for the A-team, the Team Williams. Not only did we quadruple the race first and second, mate, we ran last and second last. But look, it's a family affair.
Yeah, all good on you, Michael. That was after the Melbourne Cup. Ireland. We interviewed him.
Catter about that.
Callum Ferguson was very crook last year, brave and fronted up to Dead Set Legends on the weekend.
And one of the all-time motorcycle racing greats, Valentino Rossi, has been recognised with something a little bit different, Rusty. And on that, Jay-Z, how's the Jordan Dugowie situation?
Poor old Ferg. Look, we all get a bit overworked in this industry. Their throat cops are hiding. And we want the raspiest throat in South Australia, the croakiest throat in South Australia. Give us a call if you've got one. 1-333-53. We have several doubles to go to the State of Origin tomorrow night at Adelaide Oval. We're after Adelaide's croakiest voice.
Yeah, it's Throat of Origin on Roo, Dits and Loz this morning. You're on Triple M.
Triple M presents the real State of Origin.
Another couple of those and I think the Maroons get home.
Who is the croakiest bloke?
First clearance, they got 9 plus 9.
On Triple M.
Raspy Rusciutto doing some of his finest work.
It's Throat of Origin.
Oh, that is unbelievable!
I had a blood blister on my vocal cord last year. I had a camera rammed down my throat after talking too much, and now we're trying to find out who has the croakiest throat in South Australia. Let's go to Parra Hills. G'day, Pete.
Oh, there you go.
Pete.
Is this really your voice?
This is really my voice.
What's happened to you, Pete?
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue.
You've been on the darts for a while, or you've been talking too much, or...
No, I just don't know what's happened.
You're just a husky man.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, you don't. Well, you weren't yelling at the footy at the weekend, or?
No, nothing. I just don't know what happened. What, every now and again, she'll go like it.
Yeah, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Might have to get you up to the GP.
Does it cause you a lot of pain?
No pain whatsoever. No,
just okay. Normal. All right.
All right.
Just a raspy man.
She won't make the local male choir, will he?
No.
No. That's right. All right.
I don't think he would get Koshy's job on Sunday.
No. Oh,
right.
A bit
Robin
raspy.
In Murray Bridge. Good morning, Robin.
How you going, mate?
Oh,
come on, Robin.
Robin, is this real?
Keep talking, Robin.
Oh no. What do you do for a job, Robin?
I'm just a retired grandmother. I lost my mum about 12 months ago, and I think the anxiety has affected me, and my voice has been like this ever since.
Oh, Robin.
Oh, wow, that's
Robin.
Sad. All right. There's a couple of finalists there, no doubt.
Yeah, well
they've both got to go to Adelaide Oval tomorrow night. Don't
Barrack Tula, don't yell out. Peter and Robin, you've got a double to go and see the State of Origin at Adelaide Oval tomorrow night. And this,
we asked for the croakiest voices. We've got more than we bargained for.
We certainly got exactly what we're after. If anyone wants to go to the State of Origin tomorrow night, and this is a real treat for us to get game one. It's the biggest game in State of Origin. For State of Origin fans, it's seriously bigger than their grand final. So get along, support a great sporting event in the state. Go to nrl.com/tickets to see the State of Origin tomorrow night.